This is the State of Things broadcasting from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. You can find the words green and sustainable just about everywhere today, especially in advertising, and their meaning has begun to dissolve. Like words like fresh and natural, I think, are sort of in that list. So what does sustainable living really mean? The film, Within Reach, shows a couple biking across the country on a quest to find out what a sustainable community actually is. Film's going to screen at Motorco Music Hall in Durham on Monday, July 29th. That's at 7 o'clock. It's going to be followed by a discussion about the film and sustainable community in Durham and how you can scale that up. Derek Allen Rowe is director of the film Within Reach. Amy Campbell is executive director of Sustainable in Durham. They're both going to be part of that discussion at Motorco on Monday, so they've joined us now for a preview. Welcome to the show. Good to have you here.
Thanks. Good to be here.
Thank you so much.
Derek, talk about the inspiration for this film.
The inspiration for this film is actually a partnership between me and Ryan and Mandy.
The two bikers.
The
aforementioned.
Bicyclists in the film. And we created the film as actually a experiment in consensus and creative consensus. So I'm not actually the director. I'm part of the creative team. So the inspiration for the film is actually a lot of the things you said, wanting to seek a sustainable way of life and not seeing a lot of support. I'm from Central Florida, and it was an uphill battle, you know, not a lot of support in relationships and not a lot of local businesses or local organizations to help you create that lifestyle. And I was on a journey to create a project, a film or a book. I didn't know what it was, but I knew I wanted to travel the country and find those answers. Like, where are we at? You know, are there support groups that I'm not a part of right now, or other people having these questions? And as I was doing pre-production for the film, I saw a press release from another couple, Ryan and Mandy, who were doing a very similar project, except they were doing it on their bicycles. And I thought, living by example, let's make the film, you know, in a sustainable way on a bicycle. So sounds great.
Because if you're looking for sustainability with your driving across the country in a motorhome, there's a paradox.
Yep.
So you better be on a bike. But so it suggests that you have some idea of what you mean or what you think you mean by this term sustainable. What is it? What is the root that, even though things will change as you go on your journey here, what is it that you knew you were looking for?
I think at that time, that was the question. What was I looking for? There was an inner yearning for what people have for the last 40 years, 50 years have been calling back to basics. And also, because of the backlash of that concept, people think you want to get rid of technology and you might want to simplify to a fault. And it actually was more of a yearning for just like truth and just getting your hands dirty and feeling capable of providing for your own needs. I think so many things happen now in the news and the internet where you feel sort of like debilitated by your ability not to do anything about it. And, you know, you look in the natural world and you think, man, at some point my ancestors were able to meet their own needs on their own and not have to protest or ask the government or worry about other things like that. So it's really started there. And the word sustainable for me was looking for something that I didn't have to be in control of, something that me and the natural world have a mutually beneficial relationship. And I tap into that, I recognize that, and there's sort of a balance there. Whereas sometimes, you know, using technology, our culture starts to create these unsustainable practices because it requires us to always adjust and us to always track how is it working. And if you were to hook a computer up to the world, there's so much information that was going on, you couldn't keep track.
You know, it's interesting because it's in progressive communities and circles, the word sustainable comes up. In conservative circles, it's about independence and doing for yourself and being independent and not dependent on others. It's the same thing, isn't it? Isn't it talking about, in some ways, finding ways that you can, and maybe if there's a breach in the thinking, it has to do with whether you're going to rely on other people at all as part of a network, or whether you really think that you've done it all by yourself.
Wow. Yes, absolutely. That was a learning lesson for me on this film, is what I've called the redefinition of community in my life. And as we were working on the film, there were so many interviews over the 2 years, you know, 1,000 hours of footage, and so many people who had stuff to say about sustainability and the degradation of environment. And very early on in the post-production process, we were like, okay, we have to focus. if it doesn't have to do with community, it's not part of our message.
And the community part, so the difference between self-sufficient and sustainable, which I think is a lot of, in many ways, the same thing, I think, what people are going for. But it expresses itself in these sustainable communities, often in intentional communities. So people setting themselves apart and then living as community and supporting each other. But then I want to play a clip, because it seems to me that you have to distinguish, or do you, between those sort of communes of the 60s that did the same thing. They brought themselves off the grid and said, we'll live apart from this, and the self-sustaining intentional communities of today. Is there a difference?
There absolutely is. And I think one of the main differences is that there's not as much running away as I think there was. It's really based around solutions that are attractive and that are comfortable, and bridging the gap between giving up all your luxuries, you know, because we'd advance to a point where we create a comfortable life, making a comfortable life, and being ecologically sustainable at the same time. You know, all these people want that.
So here's a clip from a film that I think speaks directly to what we've just been talking about. It's about a woman who finds herself in this community but didn't think she was going to be a member early on. Let's listen.
So I was actually dragged kind of kicking and screaming into my first intentional community situation by my son's father. I was not convinced. I basically had all of the stereotypes about community in my head, and it was like, there is no way in hell that I am going to some stupid hippie commune in the middle of nowhere and getting isolated. So he dragged me into it, and I basically said, okay, you got 24 hours on this place, and I'll go with you, but that's it. And so I, as quickly as I could sort of stuff my pride, I said, okay, we can stay another day. And then, okay, maybe we can stay another day. And by the end of 3 or 4 days, I was sold. I mean, it was really that quick, where I went from being completely resistant to really getting it. The communities are doing something really important.
There's a clip from the film Within Reach that's going to screen at Motorco in Durham on Monday the 29th. And right now, one of the creative team is with me here today. Derek, tell us what the difference is. To what extent is this this community that she lives in different than any subdivision I might find somewhere else? And how is it connected to the rest of the big wide world?
There's a quote that we put at the beginning of the film, and I think it really sums up the lesson that I've learned from this process, and I think it really communicates to others. Community is the secret ingredient in sustainability. And I think, like you mentioned earlier, sometimes sustainability is associated with homestead living, where you try to provide for all your needs yourself. And, you know, people are realizing that that gets pretty overwhelming and pretty stressful. And it becomes the life that some people would call the hard life, when you had to get out and work every day just to be able to put food on the table. And what you realize is that we are so social in helping each other provide for our needs. And if you share responsibilities, being ecologically sustainable is much easier and much more possible.
Amy Campbell, talk about the themes in this film as a director of Sustainable, which is a program here in Durham that's been wildly successful, suggesting that Durham is a place where sustainability is something that people embrace quickly. How does that play out in a city like Durham? What's the connection?
So, towards the end of the film, Ryan and Mandy have gone on this huge journey and visited all these different models of what these somewhat utopian intentional communities can look like, where people have separated themselves a bit and started something totally new. And they start to realize that there's only a certain number of people to whom this appeals that can fit in that model. And question, you know, what about the rest of us, more or less? What can we do? And there's a great movement that started in England, actually, called the Transition Movement, where people are trying to look at existing cities and towns and analyze and find creative solutions for how to create a more sustainable lifestyle in any number of facets within existing communities. And one of those that Sustainable here in Durham specifically focuses on is creating a more resilient economy. So we work primarily with small businesses and trying to create that sort of cooperative environment between small businesses so that they're supporting each other, so that consumers and the general population of Durham are supporting those businesses, because it's really, you're supporting your neighbors, you're supporting your friends. if you don't shop at their store and they go out of business, that's their livelihood. That's their family's livelihood. And that makes a really big difference. So it's been a very easy thing to sell sort of here in Durham, just because people are very open to those sorts of ideas. And it is a town with a very cooperative environment already.
And Derek, you are not from here, but found this place and saw that here and decided to live here. Tell us what it is you saw.
Yeah, that's a really good question. What I did see is kind of hard to put into words, but I felt a sense of ease. I felt the lifestyle I was trying to create became easier. Like the path to getting there was easier. And I think it had a lot to do with the creative solutions in Durham. There's a lot of diversity and how all of us are paying the bills and helping each other and creating community. And the key was the local food movement here. This is the first place I had ever went where it was actually possible to create a 90% local diet. And that was the key. And there's a quote in the end of the film where someone says that, you know, we need to find what we can agree on, not focus on what we don't agree on, but focus on what we can agree on. And I found that food, we can all agree on food.
So the question to me is the scalability of this and the interconnectivity of this. So I'll use an example. I'm on the board of the Durham Central Market. This is going to be a 10,000 square foot natural foods grocery store. It's going to be built in the city of Durham on the West End, on the edge of a traditionally low wealth neighborhood. And one of the most important features of this market for us on the board right now is food accessibility. How can we make this food affordable? It's good natural food. And help to improve the diets of people who are forced for economic reasons to eat less nutritious food, loaded with all kinds of things that the industrial agricultural market has created for us. That can make this store a nexus, right, for a lot of the activities and sustainability that you're talking about. And we can all live in our single-family homes and subdivisions elsewhere. Is this scalable? Is there something that happens in these exceptional, intentional communities that can plug themselves into places that aren't where they're living, particularly low-wealth communities where we've seen a great flight out? The creative class is gone from those places, and we have nothing but sort of elderly and young people living there, very low income. How do we make those connections?
I think those connections are in someone in the film. They are quoted as saying that they think intentional communities are living laboratories. And there are places where people who live on the fringe, who are ambitious, can experiment with lifestyle and not be met with a lot of limitations. And if they can publish material and these other communities can access it, they can apply those just little pieces to their community. And a good example is Earth Haven in West North Carolina. It is an intentional community, an eco-village. And when I visited there, I saw something for the first time called a free store, which is just a consignment shop. But the framing of a free store really intrigued me. And it was full of stuff from visitors all over the world had left there and traded for other things that they took. And in our community where I'm living now, Northgate Park, we put out a table, we put a thing on it called Free Store, and we just started putting stuff on it. And it said, take stuff, leave stuff, or just take stuff. And it has gotten a roof that was donated to it. It has another table. It is constantly full and clean, all by the community and free. And I learned that from one of these living laboratories.
And the other thing, Amy, and I know you've talked about this, Durham is exceptional in many ways because there is a creative class here. And as Derek found, a multiplicity of solutions to problems, creative solutions. You get to places where people have left. You've pointed out that there's a lot of information, a lot of creativity and wealth in those communities that go untapped. And food is one of the areas you could start.
Yeah, I think we were discussing before the show, specifically Eastern North Carolina, and how there's sort of been a drain of a lot of the middle class and a lot of jobs leaving those areas. And there are still, when you have elderly people and children, and there are still economies that can exist, but it's somewhat alternative from what has existed there in the last 50 to 100 years, where large manufacturing jobs have left. And that's something that Durham experienced too when the tobacco industry went out of town here and went out of business completely in some cases. But there are ways to remake yourselves, your town, your community, and your economy by returning to some more traditional roots. And things like canning your own food, having a vegetable garden where you're selling things at the farmer's market, baking pies and selling them at your church or to your neighbors, any number of things have persisted, but they're not thought of as jobs.
Right. And then if you can take the small amounts of money that are earned and create some kind of financial network in which the money begins earning money within those economic and financial ecosystems, you've got something going. And this is where the transition movement comes in handy to make this connection. But also the other issue is whether or not we can do this intentionally or whether it takes a kind of catastrophe to make people see it. And I think one of the examples in your film is a pretty good one. Here's a clip from Within Reach that looks at Greensburg, Kansas, who made this transition a little, in a sense, they were surprised by it themselves. It was a tornado in 2007 that got them thinking about this.
The tornado, unfortunately, wiped out most of the backyard fences. And when they rebuilt the town, they decided we're not going to put up those backyard fences again. We're going to have more of a community here. It's not just an eco-village, it's not just a co-housing neighborhood, it's an entire city that's decided we're going to be a sustainable community.
So this is interesting, Derek. This is not a bunch of people who may have been predisposed to intentional community, but once they got to make their own city, it was the obvious thing to do.
Yeah, I think that is a beautiful part of the story that really, it surprised us. You know, the truth of the film is that we were on our way to New Mexico and Greensburg, Kansas was not an intentional community, so it wasn't part of our message. And when we stopped there that night, we were welcomed. We were in this church living where the volunteers lived after the catastrophe, just really just in this amazing space of, wow, this is a future. We are seeing the future right now. When people, when they have the chance to start over, which who gets that chance normally, they choose a sustainable lifestyle. You know, it doesn't matter if they're right wing or left wing, they're choosing that because it's deep, it's something deep inside of us. And I felt that, and I've said this many times, that it wasn't an intentional community, but when the tornado went through, the people who weren't there to fight for it, they left. So the only people who stayed were the ones that loved that community and loved those people. So it sort of became an intentional community by default.
And it's interesting to see what people would do if they had the chance to build it. The last thing they would build is the kind of financial networks and industrial connections that we have now.
It's
you let me build it. That's not how I'd make it happen. Amy, tell us a little bit about the transition movement and how it works here in North Carolina and in Durham.
So there is an organization here called Transition Durham that Sustainable does a fair amount of work with. And the transition movement on a whole came out of England and Ireland, actually, where people started looking at ways to stave off some of the potential catastrophes that we're seeing with climate change, with dependence on fossil fuels, with the banking crisis, any number of things, and make our communities more resilient and so that our towns and the places that we call home can withstand some of those things in the future. And I think having gone through the recent economic recession, this is something that everyone can relate to because everyone has seen the effects of that and what it looks like to be unemployed. And, you know, for banks to fail and things like that. So the transition movement tries to find creative solutions for three main problems, which is making communities less dependent on fossil fuels, reducing their environmental footprint, as well as creating a more resilient local economy. So by doing things like having small business networks and shopping locally and things like that.
Well, we hope it won't take a disaster to drive more people to this idea and we can come to it intentionally, rationally, and patiently, but you never know. Thanks so much for being on the program, both of you.
Thank you.
Derek Allen Rowe is one of the creative team of the film Within Reach. Amy Campbell, executive director of Sustainable in Durham. The film Within Reach will be screening at Motor Cove Music Hall in Durham Monday the 29th. It's at 7 o'clock. It's going to be followed by a discussion and talking about sustainable community here and elsewhere. Coming up, an ode to North Carolina by poet Lee Ann Brown. Stay with us.